Okay, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome back to our summer series at the Young Israel of Woodmere. This is class number two. Last week, we spoke about the connection between Shuvasar B'Tammuz and the Shivrei Luchos, the first event that the Mishnah tells us happened on Shuvasar B'Tammuz is Nishtabru HaLuchos. What does Nishtabru HaLuchos have to do with Shuvasar B'Tammuz? So we had what I think is a very interesting and beautiful and important shiur. And if you missed it, I do recommend to go back and listen on YU Torah. Quite fascinating. I think the Torah is just incredibly fascinating. Today we are actually going to be offering a different reason, also a new shiur, as to what is the connection between Nishtabru HaLuchos and Shuvasar B'Tammuz. So clearly there's a connection between the breaking of the Luchos that Moshe did in Parshas Ki Tisa, Shemos Lamed Beis, we looked at the Psukim last time, and this time period of Bein HaMitzarim, this between the straits, this time period of calamity and mourning for Churban Beis HaMikdash and Golus Tzion and Yerushalayim. So we are going to propose today a totally different reason as to what the connection is between the broken Luchos and the 3 weeks. Okay, so the Pasuk tells us, we're going to begin with a couple of Psukim, just two Psukim from Yirmiyahu. On your handout, you see that the Pasuk tells us from Yirmiyahu, okay? It's the same handout as last week. The Pasuk tells us from Yirmiyahu, just let's look at two Psukim from Yirmiyahu and Navi. And he's prophesying about Churban Beis HaMikdash and the destruction and Golos. And the Navi says, Mi ha'ish, it's Yirmiyahu Perek Tes, Psukim Yud Aleph through Yud Beis. Why do I see people turning over all the sheets? You're not in the, it should be very clear. Do you not see where we are? There are two handouts on the Bima. They're right next to each other. One is, okay, we're on page two of the handout. It's not such a long packet. It's just one paper with two sides. You're looking for the Psukim from Yirmiyahu HaNavi. We did last week's topic and sources. We're not going through the same. What? What is she saying? I can't hear.
Is the Zoom on? They say the Zoom is not on.
There's no Zoom anymore for this shiur.
Oh, no Zoom? Okay.
Okay. These shiurim are in person only. There is no Zoom. I know the Zoom's not on. That's why there's no computer here. Okay. Let's please focus. There are two packets on the Bima. Please take both. If you just want to listen, that's fine. On page two, there are only two psukim from Yirmiyahu HaNavi. I would just like to look at these two psukim with you. Just the pasuk with pshat. That's it. That's where we are starting shiur. Perek tes pasuk yud aleph. Mi ha'ish ha'chacham v'yavein es zos. Who is the man who is wise and who can understand this? Va'asher dibir pi Hashem elav v'yagida. That the mouth of Hashem has spoken to him and he can declare. Alma avda ha'aretz. For what was the land lost? So the Navi is asking, for what? Who is the wise man who can understand? That the mouth of God has spoken to him and he will tell. For what was the land lost? Nitzisha kamidbar mibli over. She has become withered, dried up like a desert, and there is no one who passes through the land. The Navi is speaking about the Churban. Vayomer Hashem, and the Ribbono Sha'olam said, this is Yirmiyahu Perek Tes Psukim Yud Aleph through Yud Beis, Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Al Azvam Es Torasi, because they abandoned my Torah, Asher Nasati Lifnehem, that I placed before them, Velo Shamu Bekoli, they did not listen to my voice, Velo Halchubo, they did not walk in the ways of Torah. So these psukim are questioning the who is wise and discerning, who can understand that the mouth of Hashem has spoken to him and he will tell, for what has the land been lost? Why is it all dried up like a barren desert, like a dry desert? There is no one passing through. And the answer, Hashem, is Al Azvam Es Torasi, because they abandoned my Torah that I have placed before them. They did not listen to my voice. They did not go in its way. They didn't walk by it. When we talk about Churban Tzion and Yerushalayim and Churban Beis HaMikdash, the most famous Gemara that is quoted is the one that I talk a quote very often during this time period, Yumatas Amud Beis, and that's where the Gemara says, that the first temple was destroyed, and there the Gemara says, and why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? And the Gemara says, even though they were osek in Torah and Mitzvos and Gemilas Chasadim mipnei macharav, mipnei shahaisabu sinas chinim. So this is the extremely famous passage from the Gemara, where the Gemara attributes the fall of the first temple to the three cardinal sins that were being transgressed, and the fall of the second temple to baseless hatred. So certainly, that Gemara is accurate with a big lesson for us. This is a time period where we must work on instilling ahava and shalom bein adam l'chaveiro to counteract the churban that came about because of sinah. But the reality is that there are other reasons. Pirkei Avos has its own reason. I think I'm going to speak about that in our shiur next week. Why galus bala olam? There are other reasons why Churban happened. It is not only the most famous reason, as in Yumatas Amad Beis. And the Gemara tells us in Masachas Nedarim, which you have on your handout, a short excerpt from Masachas Nedarim. Okay, so the Gemara says as follows, and I'm going to be quoting some of the Art Scroll footnotes for you as well that bring further sources and elucidation to the Gemara. So the Gemara tells us in Nedarim Pei Aleph, this is a different, less famous, less quoted, but no less important reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Gemara says as follows, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Ma'i Dichtiv. Now the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyahu that we just looked at. What is the meaning of the pasuk? Mi ha'ish ha'chacham v'yavein ezos. That's a pasuk we just looked at. Mi ha'ish ha'chacham v'yavein ezos. V'asher diber pi Hashem eila v'yagida. Alma of the ha'aretz. Nitzitza kamid bar mibli over. The Gemara quotes this pasuk from Yirmiyahu Tess, pasuk Yud Aleph. And the Gemara says, what is the meaning of this pasuk? Who is the wise man who will understand this? The discerning man who has heard the word of God speak and will say, Davar zeh nish'ala chachamim v'la neviyim. Oh wait, I said I'm going to tell you some of the footnotes. Okay. In the preceding verses, Yirmiyahu foretells in graphic terms the utter destruction that is destined to come upon the land. In the verse quoted here in the Gemara and in the next one, Yirmiyahu continues the same theme, projecting himself into the future. It is a prophecy about the future, and speaking of the destruction as if it has already occurred. So these psukim from Yirmiyahu are a prophecy about what will happen, and the Navi is saying, who is the wise man who has seen, who can understand? My land is like a barren desert, it is all dried up. Why did this happen? So the Gemara says, what is the meaning of this pasuk from Yirmiyahu? Then the Gemara says, Davar zed nishal ha'chachamim v'la neviyim. So the Taka asked this question to this question of what does this pasuk mean? They asked to the chachamim, the wise men, and the neviyim, the prophets. Who are the wise men and the prophets who they asked? So the Rush explains on the Gemara, who is the wise man alludes to the sages. The chachamim are the sages. They asked the sages and they couldn't answer. To he whom the word of Hashem has spoken alludes to the prophets. Both groups were at a loss to explain why the land deserved to become lost at the time of the first destruction. So when the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, so many sheets, not really, I told you there's not so many sheets, Mi ha'ish ha'chacham v'yavin ezos, v'asher diber pi Hashem eila v'yagida. So the Rosh explains on the Gemara that mi ha'ish ha'chacham were the chachamim, the sages, v'asher diber pi Hashem eila were the neviyim. So they asked the chachamim and they asked the neviyim, why ama av da ha'aretz, why was the land lost? And nobody could answer. V'lo perushuhu, they could not answer. Ad shepirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo. So no one could answer this question. Why was Yirmiyahu prophesying that the Churban Bayis Rishon was going to come and the land was going to be totally desolate? They asked the Chachamim, they asked the Nevi'im, and the Gemara says nobody knew. Until finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and said, I will give you the answer. Ad shepirushu HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo, dichtiv, like the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem al azvam es torasi. So nobody knew the answer to the question of the prophet, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along. The next pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and Hashem said, Al azvam es torasi, because they abandoned my Torah, asher nasati lifneihem, that I placed before them, velo shamu b'koli, velo halchu bo. So Yirmiyahu perek tes pasuk yud aleph is the bewilderment of the sages and the prophets over why Churban Bayis Rishon was happening, and Yirmiyahu perek tes pasuk yud beis is the answer of the ribonim shel olam. For why Churban Bayis Rishon was happening, along came HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, nobody knows the answer, I will give you the answer. Al Azvam Es Torasi. That is how the Gemara explains these two psukim. So I just want to tell you the footnote. Hashem said in this pasuk, the Ran explains, that God alone was the only one who was able to explain this quandary that they found themselves in. Continues the Gemara, Hainu lo shamu b'koli, hainu lo halchabo. So the Gemara says, it's still on your handout. The pasuk says, they did not heed my voice. They did not listen to my voice. Lo halchubo, they did not follow it. The Gemara is saying, isn't that saying the same thing? They did not follow my voice. They did not go in my ways. Isn't that the same thing? It's redundant. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says, in the name of Rav, she'ein mevarchim b'torah techila. Why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Some of you may have heard this, sometimes quoted. It is undoubtedly true that we much more focus on Yuma Tas Amud Beis and the destruction because of the 3 year Gval Yavors and Sinas Chinam. But the reality is that there are other reasons. And here the Gemara, and there's a parallel Gemara in Bava Metzia as well, Pehe Amud Beis, that speaks about the same thing. And the Gemara says, She'ein Mevarchim B'Tor Tchila. Because Baruch Hu said, I'm going to come and I'm going to explain to you why the Churban Beis HaMikdash happened. The Churban Beis HaMikdash happened. Haidu lo shamu v'koli, they didn't listen. Lo halchuba, they didn't go in my ways. What does this mean? Like you see on your handout, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, she'ein mevarchim b'torah tchila. So I'm just going to quote the footnote here that gives a number of different explanations as to what this means. And then we are going to speak about it and go to an extremely, extremely moving and profound and emotionally stirring piece by Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. Okay. How does Nor follow it? I'll tell you when to go back to your handout. How does Nor follow it imply they did not recite the blessing on the Torah? If the Navi says, Lo shama b'koli v'lo halchuba, how do we derive from there that that means she'ein mevarchim b'torah tchila, that they did not make Birkas HaTorah before they learned? Rabbeinu Yonah explains as follows. Since the question of why the land perished was asked of the wise men, the Chachamim, and asked of the Nevi'im, the prophets, and they were at a loss for an answer, it cannot be that the Jewish people had actually forsaken the Torah and ceased studying it. If they had stopped studying Torah, it would have been very obvious. The Chachamim would have known why the Churban happened. The Nevi'im would have known why the Churban happened. But the fact is they were still studying Torah. And that's why it was so unclear as to why the Churban happened. Had it been the case that they stopped actually studying Torah, the answer would have been obvious. It would not have eluded these great men. It is therefore clear that the people were indeed involved in Torah study. They were involved. It was for this reason that the wise men and the prophets were baffled, confused, befuddled by the destruction. The question remained unanswered until HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained it was because they did not recite a blessing on the Torah before studying it. Their failure to recite the blessing was indicative of their true feelings of Torah. What, did they hate the Torah, Chas V'Shalom? No, they were studying the Torah. They did not appreciate its value enough to merit the recital of a blessing beforehand. You know, if we eat without making a bracha, the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Hei says it's like Mi'ila, it's stealing the Hekdesh of the Beis HaMikdash, you're stealing from Hashem's world. But if we eat without making a bracha, doesn't mean the food doesn't taste good. It tastes delicious. It might be the most juicy orange, or that's winter fruit. It's such a delicious nectarine. It's an amazing peach. The cherries and the blueberries, the summer fruit is so delicious. It could be delicious, but you're not appreciating the one who gave you the fruit. If you could eat so mindlessly without thinking about where did this come from? How did this come into my home? Think of the nais, the miracle of it growing in the garden. What did this come from? A seed? A pit? How did this even grow? Hashem put all the DNA in every fruit so it should know what it should be. You know, peaches are peaches and cherries are cherries. Blueberries are blueberries and I don't know what else. Pineapple is pineapple. It's amazing. You could eat it and say it tastes delicious, but do you appreciate the one who gave it to you? Or are you not even thinking of how you came to be zocha, to have this beautiful fruit? Hashem makes all the fruits different colors. It's not a boring world. It's a very colorful, beautiful world of Tava. Every fruit tastes different. If it could be delicious. But do you appreciate the godless of the one, capital O, who gave it to you, capital W? So they were learning Torah. The Chachamim and the Nevi'im could not answer the question of Yirmiyahu. It wasn't that they were not learning. It's that they didn't appreciate enough the one who gave them the gift of Torah. They were not enthralled enough by the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. She'ein mevarchim tchila b'Torah. They did not make the bracha first. They did not study Torah furthermore for its own sake, says the Ran. They were lax about reciting the blessing. This is what the verse implies when it says, lo halchubo, they did not go in its ways. They didn't study the Torah with the proper intention. Alternatively, the Maharal says, the Gemara does not mean they actually did not recite the blessing. They certainly did. I hope that everyone here, before you came to Shir, not only davened, but recited the blessings on Torah, before you learned Torah. We're not allowed to enjoy anything in this world without a bracha. You're not allowed to enjoy sleep without the bracha of Hamapil. You're not allowed to enjoy the nectarine without saying a ha'etz. You're not allowed to enjoy seeing the great wonders of nature without making a bracha. We're not allowed to enjoy anything, including Limud Torah, which should certainly bring us great enjoyment, without making a bracha. So the question is, and this is how the Maharal explains it, sometimes you make a bracha, but your head is everywhere but in the words that you're saying. So it's possible that this morning we made the bracha on Birchas HaTorah, but were we actually thinking of what the words mean? Were we actually thinking of what we are blessing the Ribbono Shel Olam for? Did we have any kavana and intent in the words of that blessing? The Maharal says they did recite the blessing. However, it did not emanate from hearts overflowing with love and gratitude to God for the greatest of gifts. It was recited by rote. Sometimes the Maharal notes, Torah scholars become in love with Torah that they forget the giver of Torah. By reciting the blessings over Tovah without really thanking God for the gift, they sever the Torah from its roots like a cut tree. It might remain beautiful for some time, but if the tree is not connected to its roots, it will wither and it will die. A Torah scholar who is not connected to the roots, and we don't only mean Torah, we mean the roots of the Ribbono Shel Olam, ultimately will not remain committed to Torah. It's impossible. This, in turn, without being connected to the source, led to serious transgressions, and those transgressions caused them to lose the land. There are other explanations. These are just a number of them. And the question we all have to ask ourselves, I think, really is, are we reciting the bracha over Torah like we should be? Or is it just by rote another list in the Siddur of many brachos that we make in the morning? Remember, we are studying the connection between Shivrei Luchos, Tainis, Dalid, Mishnah Vav, we learned it last week. The first event of Shivas Rabbi Thomas was the broken Luchos. And we're asking, what is the connection between the broken Luchos and Shivas Rabbi Thomas in the 3 weeks? And perhaps here we have an answer. With the fashioning of the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, a mere 40 days after Matan Torah, the people were in essence removing, throwing off, casting away the yoke of Torah from upon themselves. Their great and elevated commitment to Torah, of Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nasav Nishma, the marriage to Torah, the loyalty to Torah was destroyed. Vayashkimu Mimacharas, they woke up the next morning, 32:6, yeah? Yeah, they woke up the next morning, they brought karbanos to the, I shouldn't use the word karbanos, it says Olosh and Shlomim. They offered sacrifices to the golden calf. And Rashi says they were involved in Gilui Arayos, sexual immorality. They were involved in Avodah Zarah with the worship of the golden calf. And they were involved in murder because they killed Chur. But what led to the transgressions, the three Ehareg Val Yavors being done at the time of Egel Azav, casting off the yoke of Torah comes first. So casting off the yoke of Torah, which they did when they constructed the Egel Azav, was the catalyst that led to the three Yehareg Val Yavors. This is a foreshadowing of what happened during Zman Bayis Rishon. First, they lost an appreciation for Torah and the giver of Torah. First, she'ei mevarchim b'Torah tchila. And when a person casts off the yoke of Torah, it leads to very serious transgressions. How do we know? Because the Torah outlines that pattern in Ki Tisha. They threw off the yoke of Torah. It led to these three sins. What happened b'zman bayis rishon? Ein mevarchim b'Torah tchila. They did not appreciate the tremendous gift of Torah, even though they were still learning Torah. And it led to three serious transgressions. It is this sin that foreshadowed the lack of connection to Torah in the future. When they threw off the Torah by the time of Parshas Ki Tisa Cheda Egel, it foreshadowed the lack of commitment to Torah, Bizman Bais Rishon. Let us look at a tremendous piece by Rav Soloveitchik. Right, it's the second handout. Please, I'd like you to have it and to follow along. It's from the Sefer Blessing and Thanksgiving. It is there for you. It's from the Sefer Blessing and Thanksgiving. Okay. Page 53. We're starting at the bottom of the page. Page 1. It's not page 1. It's actually page 53. At the bottom. The new subheading. The individual's Birchas HaTorah and the emotional component of Torah study. Is everyone with me? Why are we talking about this? Because the Gemara tells us Beferish in Nedarim and also in Bava Metzia that the prophets, and the Gemara explains that why did the Churban happen? We went through the Gemara. She'ei mevarchim b'Torah tchila. So yes, the other Gemara is much more famous, but this is one of the reasons that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that Churban happened. It doesn't mean that they weren't learning. They were learning. But did they appreciate what the gift of Torah? Did they appreciate the giver of Torah? Did they commit themselves with passion and excitement to Torah? Let us see how Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal, describes what our commitment to Torah should be. It's so moving. The individual's Birchas HaTorah and the emotional component of Torah study. So you could learn Torah and be totally emotionally uninvolved. You could recite Birkas HaTorah and not think about what you're saying, just like you could recite a Ha'etz and also not think about what you're saying. The first blessing, I just brought my sitter. So let's just 1 second. In the Birkas HaShachar, I daven Nusach Sfarad. I don't know if it's a little bit different in Nusach Ashkenaz. I'm sure in essence it's the same. Okay, so the first bracha we make is, I brought an Ashkenaz sitter. Very smart. The first blessing that we make is La'asok b'divrei Torah, to be involved in words of Torah. And v'ha'arevna Hashem Elokeinu es divrei Torah, secha b'fino ufios amcha b'es Yisrael, v'ni'anachnu v'tzatza'enu v'tzatza'etzatza'enu. V'ha'arevna means pleasant. Arevus means sweet. It's the last bracha, the last pasuk you say in the Shemona Esrei. Va'arva la, before you take the 3 steps forward. Va'arva la Hashem minchas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, kimir olamu chshanim kadmonios. Va'arva la Hashem, pleasant or sweet. The Torah should be pleasant in our mouths, Hashem. The words of your Torah in our mouths, in the mouths of all your nation Israel, and us and our children's children, the children of all of Israel, should know your name and learn Torah for the sake of learning Torah. Blessed are you, Hashem. Hamalami Torah la'am Yisrael. So we have la'asok b'divrei Torah. We must be involved in the words of Torah. We have a plea that Torah should be sweet to us. And we bless the teacher who teaches Torah to his nation Israel. And then finally, Baruch Ata Hashem, no Sein HaTorah. Hashem is the giver of Torah. Let's look at Rav Soloveitchik. The first blessing of the individual on Torah study, which consists of la'asok b'divrei Torah, to be involved. I wonder how our article translates la'asok. Engross ourselves, okay. Asek, it should be your business. Torah should always be your business. Your primary occupation should be Torah. The first blessing of the individual on Torah study, which consists of la'asok b'divrei Torah and v'ha'arevna, make it sweet, make Torah pleasant, is an abbreviated version of Ahava Rabba, or Ahavas Olam, before the Kriya Shema. It's a more extensive blessing on being committed to Torah. And the second blessing for an individual on Torah study was barred from the communal service. Asher barchar bana mikola amim v'nasan lanu es toraso. God chose us from all the nations and he gave us his Torah. There are two versions of the first bracha. One version is la asok b'divrei Torah, and that is the version of the Chachmei Ashkenaz. And then al divrei Torah is the version quoted by the Rif, the Rambam, and most Chachmei Sfarad. Does anyone daven here Nusach Edu Mizrach? I should have only think of it now. Ask my son-in-law. He's Sfardi. If that's the version in his Siddur, it probably is. Does anyone know? Does anyone hear? No, I should have asked my son-in-law. But that's what the Rav says. I didn't think of it, obviously. Al Divrei Torah is the version quoted by the Rif, the Rambam, and most Chachmei Sfarad. But the Rav says, does it matter which version you say? Do you say Lasok B'Divrei Torah or Al Divrei Torah? I cannot see any basic difference, says the Rav, as to the motif and theme between the Ashkenazic version and the Sephardic version. Birchas HaTorah are not related to the cognitive act of Talmud Torah. When you daven in the Shemona Esrei, the first of the Bakoshos is for Da'as. Atachonein la Adam Da'as umalamed Einosh Bina. By the way, that sentence is the bridge from the Shevach to Bakosha. Atachonein la Adam Da'as umalamed Einosh Bina is not a Bakosha. It's a shavach. It goes along with the first three brachos of the Shemona Esrei. You, God, grant man da'as. You teach man understanding. And then, chaneinu mi'itcha. Now we come to the first bakasha. After we praise God who grants man understanding, then we ask him, chaneinu mi'itcha chachma bin v'das. Baruch atah Hashem chonein adas. God grants us understanding. So if we want to bless Hashem and ask Hashem for the ability to cognitively, intellectually, wisely engage in Talmud Torah, we have a bracha for that. When you ask for da'as, ask for knowledge and wisdom and discernment and understanding in all realms of your life. One of those is just grant me the ability to understand Torah. Birkas HaTorah, says the Rav, is not related to the cognitive act of Talmud Torah. Rather, it is associated, these brachas are associated with the axiological involvement and consecration to Torah. What is axiological involvement? I looked it up. Philosophical study of value. It is a value system. Values. These brachos, la asok b'divrei Torah, malami Torah la mesha, no sein haTorah v'ha'arevna, are not related to the cognitive act of Talmud Torah. They are associated with the axiological involvement and consecration to Torah. Are you consecrated to Torah? Is Torah your value system? Whether, turn the page, whether the version of La Asok B'Divrei Torah, to be busy, to make it your involvement, your job, or Al Divrei Torah, whether it's like the Chachmei Ashkenaz or the Chachmei Sfarad, whichever version you adopt is of no relevance, says the Rav. It's just a minor technicality in Lashon. The net result is we do not pronounce a blessing concerning the actual study of Torah. Lilmo divrei Torah, we don't say that. Now, when we say, I can't believe I brought an Ashkenaz sitter. It doesn't matter. It's fine. It's funny. In a havas olam or a havaraba, whichever your nesach is, v'sei b'libeinu lahavin ulahaskil. We ask for something else in the longer birkas kriya shema. Lahavin ulahaskil. Give me bina and seichel. Lishmoa lomod ulalami lishmoa v'las v'kaim is kod divei samutu asecha bahava. V'arineinu besor asecha v'dabek libeinu b'mitzvah asecha. Before Kriya Shema, we ask for two different components. We ask for the intellectual ability to understand Torah. And when you daven the first Bakasha, the bridge between the Shevach and Bakashas is Atochonu in the Adam Das, Chaneinu Mi'itcha. So here we ask for Bina, Seichel, we ask for both the intellectual understanding to understand Torah, and the heart to appreciate Torah. But when we start our day, the first thing we say in the Birkas HaTorah in the morning, Lilmod Divrei Torah is not mentioned. That's mentioned later. But in the brachos consisting of our most basic functions in Birkas HaShachar, Pokeach Ivrim, Mal Bisharumi, Matir Surim, Zokiv Kefufim, Shasadi Kotsarki, when you put on your shoes, Hamechim Mitzadei Gavar, these are the brachos, Hanosin Leav Koach, that are related to our most basic functions as Jews. We are asking for something else in the Birkas HaTorah. Not the intelligence or the IQ to understand the Chumash, understand the Rashi, understand the Gemara, understand the Medrash. We're asking for something else. What is emphasized, I'm on page 54, the fourth line. What is emphasized is the fascination which Divrei Torah possesses. You should be fascinated by Torah. You should be enthralled by Torah. You should be in love with Torah. La'asok b'divrei Torah means to occupy ourselves. What were you busy with today? To devote ourselves. To whom are you committed? To be fascinated by Torah. Al divrei Torah, or la'asok b'divrei Torah, I am going to believe Nader, ask my son or not. I don't know why it didn't occur to me when I was preparing, but La Maisa, whichever your nusach says the Rav. It doesn't matter, they both mean the same thing. You must be emotionally involved in the study of Torah. It is not merely an intellectual exercise. What makes your heart race? What makes your face smile? What makes you excited? Not merely lilmod devrei Torah. Not only to intellectually study Torah, to be consumed with love for Torah. V'ha'arev na, paragraph 2, it's so beautiful. V'ha'arev na means the Torah should fascinate us. You see at the top, it's from the Sefer Blessing and Thanksgiving. The Torah should fascinate us. It should allure us. It should be sweet in our mouths. In Vaha'arevkna, we spell out the ideal of misora, of continuity. Part of the bracha in the morning when we recite these Birkas HaTorah along with all our other needs. You know, you recite an Asher Yatzar in the morning also. That means these are our most basic needs. You gave me shoes, you gave me clothing, you stood me upright, you gave me the koach re'iyah, I can see you, open my eyes. I know the difference between night and day. I'm able to use the facilities. Our most basic needs are being enumerated and we bless God for them. One of the most basic needs integral to the neshama of a Jew is to be fascinated, in love with, passionate about the Torah you're learning. Not learning it only because it keeps your brain young and it keeps whatever, I don't know, the gray matter, the white matter, everything's firing, the neurons, and so I'm keeping my brain healthy. So you could do crossword puzzles to keep your brain healthy. You could play Ramikab. You could play Bananagrams. No, I'm not joking. Play Boggle. It's very good. It makes you think of find new words on the board. It's much more than that when you study Torah. In Vaha'arev, not furthermore, says the Rav, we spell out the idea of the Misora community. Because what is Misora? Passing on to the next generation. So what do we say in Vaha'arev, not? V'niya anachnu. What comes after anachnu? V'tzatza einu. V'tzatza eitzatza einu. That says, I am Chabes Yisrael. We should find Torah sweet. Our offspring should find Torah sweet. Their offspring should find Torah sweet. And your entire nation of Israel should find Torah sweet. In Va'arevna, therefore, we spelt the idea of Misora, of continuity, so that we are descendants and the descendants of your people, the house of Israel, may all know your name and study Torah for its own sake. What does Shviras Haluchos have to do with this time period of mourning for Tzion and Yerushalayim? Apparently a lot. Because when the people by Chayr HaEgel threw off their commitment to Torah in constructing the Egel, and then it led to the three cardinal sins, Shemos, Lamed, Beis, Vav with Rashi, it was a foreshadowing of what would happen this man by Yisrishon. Al she'ein mevarchim b'torah techila. Were they not learning? They were learning. It's impossible if they weren't learning, so the Chachamim and the Nevi'im would have understood what the problem was. We wouldn't have needed God himself to tell us. But it was so not obvious because they were going through the motions of intellectually learning Torah. But it must be more than that. She'ein mevarchim b'torah techila. What? We should ask ourselves, everyone, don't raise your hand. What were we thinking about this morning when we made these brachos? If we could even remember what we were thinking about when we made the brachos. We have the idea of Mesorah community. That's Shvivas Haluchos. Chamisha Dvarim Eres Avasini B'Shivas Arbatamis V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. B'Shivas Arbatamis Nishtabru Haluchos. Our commitment to Torah was destroyed, was nullified, not eternally, momentarily, because a Jew can always come back to Torah. There's always the ability to repent. But in the moment, and by that I mean during that time epoch, we did not appreciate Torah enough. The idea of passing on, of transmitting, of perpetuating Divrei Torah, of what I call, says the Rav, belonging to the Mesorah community, is not realized through an intellectual act, but through emotional involvement. You can pass on mathematics, because it's very useful for your child to know mathematics or physics. Today the kids say, what do they say? Why do I need to know this? Because you have a calculator in your hand. So today, I don't know if you could argue that knowing mathematics, no one, it's not my forte. But Lemaisa, we had to learn it. Today they say, why do I need it? It's hard to argue with that unless you're going to be a mathematician. I'm not saying you should stop learning math. Today they say, I don't need to know. So the Rav says you can pass on mathematics because it's very useful for your child to know mathematics or physics. But when it is not a question of usefulness, it is impossible to pass on an axiological system, a value system, without loving it. You cannot pass on Yahadus, Torah, Mitzvos, Chesed, Limud Torah, Maisim Tovim, if you do not love it. If you don't love it, your children know, your students know that you don't love it and you can't pass it on. You cannot, it is impossible, says the Rav, to pass on an axiological system without being dedicated to it, without being devoted to it. As a matter of fact, says the Rav, paragraph 3 on page 54, middle of the page, as a matter of fact, the intellectual genius cannot be creative unless he is emotionally involved. So I'm going to give you an example. An artist. An artist could be very intellectually talented and know which colors blend nicely together and know which paintbrush to use for which kind of stroke and know which canvas goes with which type of paint, water-based oil. He could be intellectually very smart. How long it takes each layer to dry, what you can mix, what you shouldn't mix, how do you wipe off a mistake. But if that artist is not emotionally invested in his painting, if he is not passionate about what he is painting, he will not be able to produce a masterpiece. It's not possible if you're not emotionally involved. Therefore, says the Rav, that's my example, and it's true, the intellectual genius cannot be creative. Think of a music composer, someone who composes music. He could be very smart. He could know how the instrument works. He could be very wise. He could know which notes make which sound. But if he isn't moved to feel the music, he won't be able to create the opera. It is the intuitive feeling which is the source of creativity. Creativity does not come from having a certain discipline at one's fingertips. That's my examples. Okay? Creativity does not come because you know the discipline and the science behind painting. Creativity does not come because you understand how musical instrument works and which tones go well with which notes. It does not come simply from accumulating knowledge. You can know the whole Torah off by heart with all the Rashis. If you're missing the intellectual component of being passionately in love with Torah, you cannot be part of the Mesorah community, and you will not be able to pass on V'tzatzeinu V'tzatzei Amcha Beis Yisrael. Of course, it is impossible, says the Rav, to develop intuition unless you know astronomy or chemistry or physics or philosophy, so, or painting or music. But it is a great love which generates intuition. It is the involvement with that art. La'asok, to be involved, make it your asak, which reveals new horizons. Creativity comes from a total involvement in a certain discipline. Nishtabru haluchos means that when Moshe broke the luchos, it was merely a reflection of what the people had already broken. Through their actions, Ela Alohacha Yisrael, they already broke their connection to Torah. Moshe's physical act of throwing down the luchos was a physical manifestation of their emotional detachment from Torah, which led to the three Yehareg Valyavars, which is the first calamity of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, which opens up the time period of mourning for Churban Beis HaMikdash, which is a foreshadowing of what happened during Zman Bais Rishon. The same thing happened. The Navi Yirmiyahu says, who is the wise man who understands? Who can tell us why is the land Asha Avda Ha'aretz, Lama Avda Ha'aretz? Why is it Nitzatza Kemidbar? Why is it dried out like a desert? And nobody knew until Hashem says they were not involved. They didn't listen. They didn't go on my ways. Says the Gemara, Asha Ein Mevarchim B'Tor Tchila. How do we feel about Yahadus? How do you feel about learning Torah? Feel. Not how do you learn, how do you feel about learning? But Mordechai Gifter Zatzal, the great Rosh Yeshiva from Taos, he's known as the American-born Gadol. When he was a little boy, Rav Shimon Shkop, the European Gadolim, used to come from time to time, especially to raise money. In the interwar years, the yeshivas were in dire financial straits. And Rav Mordechai Gifter was a little boy. And he went to Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon Shkop was there, he got a bracha. And why was Rav Shimon Shkop's bracha? It was in Yiddish. Rav Gifter would always give this to his talmidim. You should always want to learn. Not you should always learn. You should always want to learn. If you want something, it means you desire greatly because you're infatuated with that thing. It's such an emotional piece by the Rav. We have to distinguish, bottom paragraph, we're on page 54. We have to distinguish between cognitive pluralism and axiological monism. Cognitive pluralism, cognitively, you can be involved in many things. You can know science and mathematics and painting and music. That's not a stira. You could be smart cognitively and all those things. That is cognitive pluralism. I'm not monotheistic when it comes to intellect. I know science and I know history. I know math and I know English language arts. That's fine. You could have many intellectual interests and specialties. We must distinguish between cognitive pluralism. Do you see why I gave you the hand up, by the way? Yeah. I remember when I was much younger, and I'm going back many decades, and sometimes I would pick up a piece of Rav in my father's study and I wouldn't understand anything. I was much younger. I'm going back a long time ago. But I think that you definitely need to have the piece in front of you. First of all, to appreciate what the Rav is saying. And second of all, to be able to follow along. And I hope, Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, I'm doing an adequate job of going through this with you together. The Rav, by the way, this Sefer, Blessing and Thanksgiving, is nothing to do with Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Do you understand that? And it has nothing to do with Churban Beis HaMikdash. I am proposing that a second connection between Nishtabru Haluchos and Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Churban Siyun in Yerushalayim is based on the Gemara in the Nedarim and Bava Metzia. And now I'm bringing you a piece of the Rav, because what does it mean She'ein Mevarchim B'Torah Tchila, and what should our commitment be? How can we be misaking that sin? If that sin led to the three Yeharag Valyavars, both in the Midbar and Bisman Bais Rishon, then how can we be misaking that sin? How can we fix, rectify, repair She'ein Mevarchim B'Torah Tchila so that we can rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? And therefore, we have to distinguish between cognitive pluralism and axiological monism. When it comes to value system, you have to have one value system. When it comes to an intellectual cognitive system, you could have many. You could be a professor of history and science. A man can know many things, but one can live only in one value system. Intellectually, man is basically a pluralist. There's nothing wrong with that. We have many interests. Some people read the sports section of, hopefully, the Wall Street Journal, not other papers. You read the sports section, and you read, what else is in there? The health section, and you read the science and technology section. There's no competition within the intellect. There's no envy or jealousy. So if you go to teach your mathematics class in university, and then you go to teach your history class, it's not a problem. The two parts of yourself are not jealous. What, you just taught history, and now you're teaching mathematics? How could you do that? There's no jealousy in the system. I can know many things. There's no competition amongst values in the axiological world. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I skipped a sentence. Okay? Intellectually, man is basically a pluralist. There's no competition with intellect. There's no envy or jealousy. I can know many things. I could be a painter and a musician. Gewaldig, you're very talented. Wonderful. However, there is great competition amongst values in the axiological world. In the world of value systems, there you must be a monotheist, axiological monism. I can cherish one value. I cannot cherish five values. Because values are basically competitive. They are jealous of each other. Obviously, the Rav is such a brilliant mind. They are jealous of each other, if I may use this expression. So if you value the value system of Shabbos, you cannot value the value system of Saturday as a day off and it's a day to go to the beach. Is it Shabbos Kodesh? Mechalalam mos yumos? Or is it my day off from work, leave me alone with all these rules, my value system is today, I put my feet up at the beach. I go swimming, I order ice cream from the ice cream car, whatever it is. I cannot cherish five values. Because values are basically competitive. They are jealous of each other. If I may use this expression. Fourth to last line on page 54. Since intellectual commitment is not total commitment, I can't commit myself to different fields of knowledge. You do not have to be solely committed to the arts. I just thought of a source that I don't have here. I don't have the source here. One second. No one happens to have the Rav David Feinstein biography on them, do they? Okay. I'm going to look it up at home. I have to do two things. Ask my son-in-law about his Birkas HaTorah. They came to a grandson of Rav David Feinstein. Again, I don't have the sefer in front of me, and I didn't think of it when I was preparing. So I'm paraphrasing. It's possible I'm getting it a little bit not exactly correct. I don't want to say wrong because it's not wrong, but it'll be better if I had the Lashon in front of me. A grandchild of Rav David Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, I think a grandson wanted to do, if I'm not mistaken, I think piano. I don't remember what it was. I shouldn't ruin it and tell it to you when I don't have the sefer in front of me. It's okay, I could just tell it. So he wanted to learn piano. So his grandfather, they came to the grandfather to ask what to do. He didn't usher it. He says, it's wonderful, you have a talent, you could express yourself, but if you want to be a Ben Torah, you must commit your, this is Be'erach, the story. You have to be prepared to commit yourself fully to that value system, to those ideals. Will you have the time, will you have the mind, will you have the heart to be totally committed to Torah if you're totally committed to piano, whatever it was. I understand piano is very important for many children, and we need healthy outlets. I'm giving an example from a tremendous God of a Torah of what it means to be totally committed to a certain value system. Since intellectual commitment is not total commitment, I can commit myself to different fields of knowledge. But axiological commitment is a total commitment that requires full devotion. And he gives a very good mashal to help us understand this. Love, we must love Torah. Remember, the Rav says that these Birkas HaTorah that we make are an abbreviated form of Ahava Rab or Ahavas Olam, whatever the Nusach that you say is. And in that bracha, we're speaking about love. What's the first word? Ahavas Olam. We're talking about love. So since Hashem loves us and we love Hashem, He gave us this tremendous gift of Torah, which we must appreciate. You could eat the nectarine. The juice might drip down your chin, but do you have an appreciation for who gave you the nectarine, who grew the nectarine, the nace of the nectarine? Torah requires love. V'ha'arevna. Make it sweet in our mouths. Lishmer v'lasos u'lakayim is called divrei samator asecha ba'ahava. V'yachad u'avenu la'ahava u'li'ira shemecha. Being involved with Torah, how do we finish the bracha? L'hodos l'cha u'liyechrecha ba'ahava. Baruch atah Hashem ha'bocher ba'ama Yisrael ba'ahava. So these brachos on Torah, where we're davening, where we're blessing, where we're asking for passionate involvement, not intellectual study, are an abbreviated form of what we say by Havas Olmer, Havas Rabbah. And that bracha is solely focused on the love between God and Israel. As a result of this love, we have this gift of Torah. Says the Rav, you could know science and math and art and music, but when it comes to a value system, there must be total commitment. Total commitment means full devotion. Last sentence on page 54. Because love has an element of jealousy. Like a husband jealous of his wife. Nesota. Ruach kina. She cannot say, I'm totally committed to you. I'm also totally committed to somebody else. He also cannot say, I'm totally committed to you. I'm also, chas v'shalom, totally committed to somebody else. In a value system, in a love system, in a passion system, you can only be committed to one ideal, one person, one thing, one God, one Torah. Does it excite you? Does it take your breath away? Can you fathom the grandeur of the divinity of Torah? Do you wake up excited to go to Shira? What were we thinking about this morning when we said these brachos? Do we even know what we were thinking about? The first mashal the Rav gives is like the commitment, the love between a husband and a wife. You can't have two value systems. You have one. You're either committed to each other fully, totally, passionately, absolutely, or you're not. You could paint and make music. But you cannot be married properly to two people. I'm not talking about Bisman del Raisa. In our day and age, it demands full attention. Another mashal. Like a child who wants the full attention of the mother. Intellectually, we can be engaged in many things. But you cannot emotionally be involved in two worlds. We cannot worship two gods. We cannot divide our emotions, our love, our sympathy, our appreciation between two fields. Axiologically, we require a monistic, like monotheism, one, single, attitude. And that means, says the Rav, to be devoted to Torah alone. So the Gemara tells us, the Pasuk tells us, let's review a little bit quick. It's so interesting, actually. I just thought of something. That pasuk in Yirmiyahu, on the other hand, on page 2, the Navi indicates he is asking the wise men. But if you're only wise and lacking heart, you can't be committed to Torah, as we have understood. So the Chacham, of course, does not understand this, because when it comes to Torah, it's not enough to be a Chacham. It's not. The one who will be the most successful in Torah is not the smartest one. It's the one who's the most in love with God. It's the one who is most enthralled by Torah. Even if your IQ is a little less than the boy on that seat in the Beis Medrash. Mi ha'ish ha'chacham v'yavein ezos. The Navi says, why has the lamb been lost? Why is she dried up like a desert? Why are there no passers by? Says Eicha. Nobody could answer, says the Gemara. They asked the Chachamim, they asked the Nevi'im, nobody knew. Vayomer Hashem, al azvam es torasi asher nasati lifneihem, velo shamu bakoli velo halchuba. Says the Gemara, al azvam torasi is azvam torasi. Why do you need velo shamu bakoli? What is it adding? Says the Gemara, she'en mevarchem b'torah tchila. But they were learning. They weren't passionately learning. They weren't solely committed to Torah. If we want to be misaken the sins that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, yes, we must be misaken the sin of Chinam. Absolutely. Unfortunately, lack of Shalom is still alive and well. On many levels. It's a tragedy that perpetuates over and over the Chorban called Darb Shalom Bani B'yamev Ki'ilu HaChrivo. I think it's the most famous Yerushalmi that there is. However, there are other reasons the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And one of those reasons is because the people did not appreciate what Torah is. It's not enough by rote to read the questions at the Shabbos table that the child brings home from school or from camp and flip them over and mechanically go through these questions. So you could write a mitzvah note, tomorrow my son, my daughter read the parsha questions at the table. And how soon could I get to take a nap in bed? Are you excited by what you're learning? Is it fascinating? Can you wait to get to Shiur? Is your heart racing when you uncover a chiddush? Is this the greatest thing you've ever seen in your life? Greater than the nectarines and the beach and the cherries and the trips? Torah. David HaMelech says, Ma'ahavti sorasecha. Kol hayom hisichasi. I don't want to talk about anything else. Kufi Yatasov Tehillim. How much I love Torah. All day I want it to be my conversation. Torah Seshem Temima, Yud Tasov Tehillim. Meshivas Nefesh. Does Torah restore your soul? When you're going through the Nisyonos of life, which we are all going through different Nisyonos. Who is not going through Nisyonos? When you feel your soul is withering up. Torah Seshem Temima, Meshivas Nefesh. Does it restore your soul? Eidus Hashem ne'amana. The testimonies of God are trustworthy. Machkimas pesi. When you feel simple, when you feel unwise, does Torah make you smart? Does Torah enlighten you? The Rav says, you could be committed intellectually to many things. It's not a stira to have many interests in things in the world. But in a value system, you can only have one value system. One commitment, one love. Can a spouse be married to... I love you so much. Happy anniversary. Flowers, chocolates, let's go to dinner. And the next night, you go somewhere else. It's a travesty. That's what they did by Cheira Egel. Nishtabru aluchos means they... temporarily, because it's never eternal, that Klal Yisrael destroys our commitment to Torah. Temporarily, they severed their connection to Torah, which led to, Rashi to 32:6, the three Yeharid Val Yavars. It was a foreshadowing of what would happen, Bisman Bais Rishon. So our Yuma, Tes Amud Beis, and what's the Gemara Nedarim here, Pei Aleph, Stiros? No. They actually complement each other. It's not even two different chedushim that Chazal are proposing. It's one and the same. Because al azvu torasi, because she'ein mevarchim b'torah tchila, it led to yidarai yishvichus damim avodah zarah. Because if you in a value system are committed to two different things, if you think I could have Shabbos and go to synagogue and daven and be very religious there, but then after I'm going to go buy the ice cream on the beaches and drive there because I can't walk, it's boiling hot, I need air conditioning, A, B, and C, and X, Y, and Z, you're living in two value systems. Ultimately, one of those value systems will be destroyed. Do you know which one it is? Because the Yetzer Hara is so strong. It's the value system, Rachmana Litzlan, of Torah that will be destroyed in your life. Because it can't compete with the Yetzer Hara in this world. So unless we redouble our commitment to Torah, triple our commitment to Torah, not just intellectually, not just to know the Torah in your mind, to feel the Torah in your heart, ula'avdo b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem. It's not enough to be intellectually stimulated by Divrei Torah. You must be passionately aroused and moved by the greatness of Torah. Why? Yisrael ki shebricho oraisa chadu. Because when you, Yisrael, are in love with oraisa, the Torah, that is the Ribono Shel Olam. And that enhances your connection to God, your commitment to God, and your relationship with God. And when we strengthen our relationship with God, we live in one value system. Then Be'ezrat Hashem, we will be misaking that sin. And maybe tomorrow when we say these brachos, let's all, I'm suggesting, you don't have to. Try and stop for a few seconds that it takes to actually think about what we're saying, what we're asking for. Not that I should be smart enough to understand the Torah. I should be humble enough to be in love with your Torah. Not only me, my children, my children's children, the children of all of Amcha Yisrael. That's the great Mesorah community. And when we can reverse, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Shem, Yivarchem B'Torah Tchila, and maybe Be'ezrat Hashem we will be Zocha to the Geula. Thank you so much. We will continue next week, everybody. Have a wonderful Shabbos.